The Man in Line.
Good afternoon. It's 6 minutes past 12 midday. This is The Man in Line with Enterprise Minister Lauren Skelly till 1 o'clock today. First of all, the COVID numbers, the tests. 19,291 tests have been taken. 19,288 concluded. Three people waiting results of a test and 57 people waiting results. Just one active case of COVID-19 on the Isle of Man, an isolated individual not in the community. And there's a COVID briefing this afternoon. Used to be Thursday at 4. It's 2 o'clock this afternoon. Chief Minister will be holding a COVID-19 briefing. And, of course, you'll be able to hear that live on Manx Radio. You'll be able to see it streamed on Facebook and on YouTube as well. That's 2 o'clock this afternoon with the Chief Minister. And Lauren Skelly. Good afternoon, Mr. Skelly.
Fast am I, Noel Kennel, Andy.
Fast am I. It's been a heck of a year, and we've talked a couple of times regarding enterprise and business on the Isle of Man. How are you viewing 2021 from your department's point of view?
Yeah, that's a good question to ask, really. And we're all sort of reflecting on this year, what a year this has been, really. And we've gone through what is really the health crisis and economic crisis, and what lies ahead is very uncertain times. I think we're all delighted, obviously, with the news of the vaccine and the light at the end of the tunnel, as so to speak. But and that's a global view, not just our view. But we believe we're in a good position, I think, from both a health and an economic point of view, looking forward.
TT.
I wonder when you get onto that one. Yes, difficult decision, but I do believe it was the right and responsible decision to do for the island, effectively. But I would also recognise that we deeply, deeply disappointing for the fans, not just to cancel 1 year, but to cancel it 2 years. Of course, we have made a commitment in terms of the planning for Classic TT and the Manx Grand Prix, which are both great events in their own right.
Is there any way, if everything fell back to anything like normal, you could reverse next year's decision?
No, not at this stage. And we all know on the island with regards to the uniqueness of the TT event in terms of its planning and what goes into that. It takes a full year to put it all together. And subsequently, we made that decision, early doors, which is very consistent, I think, as a government. What we've done is made early decisions. We've been decisive and put ourselves in a strong position.
Obviously, we don't know whether Southern 100's going to go ahead, but if it does go ahead, the Classic at TT and the Manx Grand Prix will be enormous, presumably.
And that's what we're hoping for. As I said, these events, are attractive in their own right. And that was part of the process when we were looking at TT. Obviously, one of those considerations was, do we move the date? But looking at the Classic TT and the Grand Prix, the numbers booked for that were very healthy. So there is still some capacity, and we'd certainly recommend people do look at that. But yes, it could be a really strong one and a great platform to promote TT22.
Okay, let's go to the lines, and Nigel's with us first of all. Good afternoon, Nigel.
Good afternoon to you. Good afternoon, Lawrence.
Hello, Nigel. How are you doing?
I'm very well.
All well out west?
Yes, all well out west. The season's greetings to you.
And same to you, Noel Kennel.
Well, first of all, I'd just like to bring up, thank you very much for assisting us right at the very beginning when obviously it was in the brackets that guest houses and bed and breakfast weren't strategically enough important, and you managed to sort that out for the funding for us, and I thank you for that.
Great. I'm glad we were able to do that, and appreciate you highlighting, as did others, and I think that was part of the whole process of providing support for the industry and how diverse it was. It was enlightening, I guess, in some ways, but I'm glad we did manage to make that change.
Yeah, there is a but here, Lawrence. What I'm going to bring up now, and I'd like to put this towards you, and I think you're going to have to go away and digest this and go to the relevant departments and come back to me, because on Tuesday, Nikki was on a team meeting, a Zoom meeting, regarding the opening of borders, and it was an assessment of the quality in tourism, self-clean and legal updates of COVID-19 and cleaning protocols. Now, a little way into the meeting, Nikki sort of raised her ears, because obviously the assessors from the UK that come and do our grading and assist us in obviously what we're doing at the bed and breakfast and our cleanliness, they took the meeting. But I think they were obviously not aware of how clean we are on the Isle of Man regarding distancing, regarding no masks, and regarding how we live our life at the moment. Because one of the questions that they put to the team was, when the borders are open and when the guests arrive, we have to go outside and we have to take their temperature. Now, if that's 37 degrees, what the hell do we do with these people? Because I ain't going to send them back to the boat, and I'm not going to send them back to the plane, and I'm definitely not going to let them into Albany House. That is one point that came across. And there was a number of other questions that came up, because I have a 13-page document that we had to print off, that tourism asked us to print off. And it's basically a tick box for us to actually go along the guidelines so we comply with the COVID-19 regulations. And I totally understand that. But the concern I have is they also brought up in the kitchens, one of the questions was, is your kitchen set up to adhere for social distancing for 1 metre? Well, in our case, and I'm sure a lot of other places that are small bed and breakfast, we'll not be able to do that. The question that Nikki brought up then to our representative from tourism on the Isle of Man was, we have a family breakfast table. People sit around the breakfast table and eat breakfast together. Nikki said, how's that going to work? And the representative from the Isle of Man said, I think we need to leave that till after the team meeting, because she didn't know the question. Now, my really concern is, and the upset that I've got, is 5 months ago, I emailed your department, Rob Collister, and also Angela Byrne, about 5 or 6 questions which are in that piece of paper today. That's 5 months ago, 20 weeks. And if somebody can't, that piece of paper was disregarded. Angela Byrne came back to me and said, thank you for the email, but please go to Isle of Man Government, COVID-19, and read the regulations, which my questions weren't in there. But as an accommodation provider, to be given a 13-page document, which you would not believe, and I'm sure you haven't read it, or you might have done, and if you haven't, I think you need to, is the regulations that we need to cover to be an accommodation provider. And I'm speaking for a lot of other providers on the Isle of Man.
Okay, all right, Nigel. Let's let the minister have a response to that.
Thanks very much, Nigel, and highlighting there what could be, I guess, a difference, particularly with regards to your type of business, bed and breakfasts as well. There might be other differences with regards to accommodation providers on the island. I don't know the answer is the simple response, but clearly you've raised it. And if it was raised before, I apologise if we haven't clarified that. And a lot of these things are in the detail of the regulations, and the opportunity, again, as you did previously, is for us to revisit and have a look at and amend it to what should be for our purposes, and I mean our purposes, as we always do, the Manxified way of doing things. So I'm sure we can pick that up offline, and I really appreciate you raising it.
Okay. Final point, Nigel, if you could.
Really, reading that, the concern that I think I have personally is, if we've got to go by them regulations, which fine if we do, are we not opening the borders too soon in March? That's one of my questions.
Yeah, we haven't stated a date with regards to the borders, and clearly that is a matter that council ministers considers every 2 weeks. We have a fortnightly review with regards to the position, all kinds of issues, but obviously borders is the top of the list there. So we're obviously very excited, I guess, is the word with regards to the vaccine. But at the same time, we're going to be very measured about it. And we hope that it will do what it says on the tin. But there's a lot of unknowns at this particular stage. We will want to open the borders when it's safe and reliable to do so.
Okay, thank Nigel. All right. Thanks for being with us today. Good to talk to you. Here's a question about Dong Energy. I think they're called Ørsted now, Minister. What progress is being made on the up to 700 megawatt wind farm supposed to be being constructed in Manx waters? I think, did you sign that off?
Well, I was signatory, one of the signatories, I think, which was 5 years ago now with the UK government. And if you recall, to the northeast, there was a wind farm to be developed. Yeah. And they wanted to come into our waters, and we had a financial return in terms of leasing our seabed. And from what I understand, that ran into difficulties based on the UK, I think it was their contract for difference, as they call it, which is really effectively the subsidy for that particular type of wind farm operation. So it didn't go any further.
And it's not going to go any further? We've not heard anything more about it?
We haven't had any updates on that. And again, it's really with the UK government that.
Okay. A question in regarding the Cozy Nook as well. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, of course, we just heard that the commissioners, and the point first and foremost to recognise there that this is a commissioner's decision here in Port Erin, and the decision there is that they voted to have it demolished. So without being armed, I guess, with regards to the report, which I'm sure they've had an in-depth structural report as to the state of the building, it'd be
it's not registered, it's not protected.
No, and for me, you know, I'm a member of the Russian Heritage Trust, and you know, I did agree with their view that, you know, that this building has significant historic interest in Port Erin and the Isle of Man. It's iconic, really, and you know, it'd be a great disappointment if the building is to be lost.
Well, they said that about the Sound Cafe. They said that, you know, the old Sound Cafe years ago used to be iconic, and now nobody talks about it because the new one's so brilliant.
Yeah, and it's a valid point. But if I recall, you know, the old Sound Cafe was more of a hut rather than a Manx cottage, really, which is what the Cozy Nook is.
But it is closed, and if Port Erin got something that was newly iconic, do you think people would forget the old Cozy Nook and look? I mean, you could still call it the Cozy Nook.
Well, looking at the plans, I think it'd be very difficult to call it cozy and a nook, to be quite frank. And in essence, again, you know, I think this is a commissioner's decision, and you know, I have to sort of respect that. Albeit that you know, I might have a view with regards to exploring all options to see if there is a way to retain the integrity and the fabric of what is, as we just said, an iconic piece of Port Erin.
You have an enterprise hat, and obviously, well, let's look at Port St Mary and Port Erin. Where do we go with Port Erin? You know, Port St Mary would be ideal for a marina, 24-hour harbour. It would be ideal. Is Port St Mary going to move forward? Is Port Erin going to move forward?
Yeah, you mentioned the marina, and Department of Infrastructure just last year, I think, ran expressions of interest with regards to marinas here on the island. And I agree with you that, yes, it's ideal. It could be wouldn't have the tidal issues that Douglas and Peel have. However, I believe that there was a winning application there for Ramsey that's come forward. And we wait with interest to see where that actually goes. But clearly there's significant journey to travel. But when you talk about Port Erin and Port St Mary, you know, I think these are very exciting times. The Bay Queen, which we know for decades, you know, is sat as it has got planning approval, and works are due to start in the new year.
What's going to happen on the site?
Well, it's actually going to be developed for residential primarily, but with also, I believe, a restaurant and other potential facilities in there. And actually, just last night, yesterday, I had a meeting with regards to the Port Erin Marine Biological Station, another eyesore that's been there for many years, where planning in principle has been approved, and you're going to see a mixed-use development there, residential, tourism and retail all in one facility.
Oh, that's fantastic, because that's been
Well, decades, yes.
It has, hasn't it?
It has. So those are two, you know, very, very significant brownfield sites that are going to be developed. And there are others that are in development. The Royal is being completed at the moment. And there are plans, significant plans, for the old Grosvenor site too.
Okay, let's go to Stephen, who's on the line. Good afternoon, Stephen. You're with Lawrence Skelly, MHK.
Afternoon, Minister. Hope you're well.
Yes, thank you.
Quick question for you, really. COVID hopefully is on its way, sort of going with a bit of luck and what have you. Has the department got any plans for a major advertising campaign to be proactive as against reactive? And also, would you consider, now we've got the greatest assets, the steam packets, of actually discounting them furs to give a real boost to the hospitality industry?
Yeah, great question. Yeah, absolutely. I guess going back to perhaps tourism, we were very, very much poised and actually had a budget approved for a tourism campaign just before COVID. And we'd seen tourism enjoy a renaissance, as I've called it, in the last couple of years, with investment and growth in numbers being very, very positive. So through the COVID, there's no doubt about it that the Isle of Man has been profiled, shall we say, in an editorial way across global media in terms of its positivity. So as a tourism destination and a place to work and live, we're very well positioned. So that campaign will pick up as and when we believe it's right to do so. And that is obviously centred around the borders. And you made a very, very good point about the steam packet. Without government ownership of the steam packet, it doesn't bear thinking about what the position the Isle of Man would be in terms of that very critical lifeline. So putting together a campaign with them as we come out of COVID, we have already had discussions with them looking at this joint campaign. So yes, we will be picking that up when it's right and safe to do so.
Steve, I remember you called a couple of months ago with an absolutely conversation-stopping figure. Mm-hmm. You said it should be £15 or something like that for people to come to the Isle of Man.
I did indeed, because at the end of the day, I think it's under maritime law, it's the same number of crew on board, if it's empty or full. Yeah. You know, if they were discounted, the old steam packet company, if I can call it that, used to have a holiday called Magic Holidays. Mm. Now, if the steam packet government actually got together with the hoteliers, and actually the only way people could come over was actually through the steam packet and through the bookings, technically the steam packet could get 10%. Or a negotiable fee of any bookings. That way then it would serve the hospitality industry fantastic. You know, we've got to give the hospitality industry a real shot in the arm, because, you know, it's crying out at the moment.
Steve, that could flood the Isle of Man with holidaymakers. Do you think that's wise at the moment?
No, I'm saying, you know, you can launch it gradually at the end of the day. We know we're not just suddenly going to open the borders overnight, but we must have plans in place for when we're actually doing something. You know, we've lost the TT again. You know, there's a lot of people across at the present moment just off the top of my head can't play golf. We've got 7 golf courses on the island. Why can't we do a major golf competition? Discount the furs, fill the hotels.
Okay, all right, Steve. Visit Isle of Man, of course, comes underneath your department, Mr. Skelly.
Absolutely, and it's worth pointing out there that the Visit Isle of Man Executive Agency really drives the promotion of the industry and of this sector. But Steve does make a very valid point, and I think he would probably know going back there that the steam packet capacity is very significant. And if you look at it over the course of a year, there are a whole host of different potential benefits there. And when we did sign the deal with the steam packet, I think it was somewhere in the region of an additional 250,000 extra discounted fares as part and parcel of that deal.
Mm. Okay, Steve, thanks for calling.
Lovely, thank you.
Okay, 12:25 it is. Visit Isle of Man is just one of your departments. And again, that's a very difficult line to draw when it's going to be safe to, because we could flood, you could do loss leader fares to get people to the Isle of Man and flood people from the northwest of England to the Isle of Man.
Yeah, and it's interesting enough, we have a debate next week in Tynwald with regards to tourism, which is led by a good friend and colleague, Chris Robertshaw, who obviously has a long history in this. And he does highlight a really important point there. He talks about yield management and the benefit there. And I know the airlines understand this, but what we want there is, yes, you can talk about visitor numbers, but it's all about the yield that they get from those visitors and, of course, expanding
just
the season too.
Explain that in English for the layperson. Well, what does yield management mean?
Yield management is purely about the profitability of businesses. So there are different types of visitors that would come to the Isle of Man that would give different levels of benefit depending on where you are. You've got the day trippers, of course, which would help the hospitality. You have those who would stay over, which obviously would help the accommodation providers. And it's the type of clients where they can actually get maximum return of the investment of the property.
Okay. Lawrence Skelly, MHK, with us, Enterprise Minister, and of course, Russian MHK as well. We talked about the energy situation, but we've also got lots of other messages in on the text and the email as well. Having suffered the blow of the imminent closure of the Isle of Man, or the Isle of Jersey Bank, they're calling it as well, in the West, we hear that the government is closing local post offices. Where do you start? What's the situation with Port St Mary Post Office?
Yeah, I think there is a resignation in place with the post office there, and it's in consultation, and we await the post office board, and there is actually a motion with regards to the post offices. And I think it's fair to say there is an island-wide concern, not just in Port St Mary, but island-wide concern with regards to not just post offices, but banks as well, and what they do in terms of providing in their local community, because we've had, you know, some recent news in respect to that. And in many, many ways, you know, we're seeing this accelerated digitization going on as at the same time. So businesses are looking at ways of saving money at the same time. But we have to, I think, as a government, take a step back and look at this and see, you know, what do we want to see in the local communities. And Chief Minister has a committee looking into hubs, for example, and what kind of services and provisions that government needs to provide in the local community.
And obviously, you're very well placed in this because you have a business background, but also you're a proud Manxman as well. You know what makes things Manx. So, and we've altered market conditions by buying the steam packet, as you say. That was a very prescient decision to buy that. We've controlled market conditions to our own benefit. So, can we maintain the Manxness of having post offices, of having local banks, and make it work in a business sense for the Isle of Man?
You would hope that we can find a model that does actually work, and it's about finding a model that is sustainable. And what we've got to do is just recognise the economics, but the social economics. And the other point is that it's up to the people as well to use these services and use their local shops, and that's getting back to the whole buy local, really. And you know, we're seeing, you know, I think one of the real big benefits has come out of COVID is that people have recognised a number of things, about buying local, but they've also discovered their island. We get back to tourism, the success of the staycation initiative, and you know, I want to pay homage actually to John Keggan at Island Escapes, who really grasped this early doors, but on the back of that, many others have as well at the
same
time.
Did you think that would work?
I always thought it could, but I congratulate John because he was the first to pick up on it, and we put together an adaptation grant, etc., so he could adjust his business to focus in on the local market. And what we know is that we have a wonderful island here, a beautiful island here with lots to do here, and I think people have really discovered their island more than they've ever done before. So it hasn't replaced our entire tourism, clearly, but I think it has been a great success.
Who Who would have thought you couldn't get a glamping pod during December in the Isle of Man?
Yes, exactly. And people are, as I say, enjoying their island. So it has been a great success. And I hope people will continue to do that, definitely.
Lauren Skelly, MHK, our guest on The Man in Line today. If you want to get in touch, lots of people have. We've got some texts and emails to get to in just a few moments' time. Text 166177. Email studio@maxradio.com or call 66 13 68. B&B Furniture,
the island's largest furniture store. Cold winter weather means red hot savings with up to 25% off in B&B Furniture's massive winter sale. Sofas and suites, dining furniture, beds and bedroom furniture, or a new kitchen. Savings of up to 25% store-wide on selected top brands. The massive winter sale is now on at Snugborough Trading Estate. B&B
Furniture. When it comes to home maintenance and building work, how many times have you been let down? Then try
loveyourhome.im.
Love Your Home offer everything from routine home maintenance to major building projects. So if you've a leaky tap or need a new bathroom, get in touch through the free user-friendly Love Your Home app or our website. With fast response, free quotations, reliable workmanship and the flexible option of pay per job or by an annual maintenance agreement. Your home loved by our family.
Love Your Home.
NFU Mutual Insurance in Douglas would like to thank all of our existing customers for your continued business throughout this year, and we look forward to serving you further into the coming new year. And to prospective customers, remember, NFU Mutual are local to you on South Quay Douglas for all of your personal, commercial and business insurance needs. Call us on 674 191 to see how we can help you. Wishing everyone a wonderful Christmas and a happy new year from all of the staff at NFU Mutual Insurance.
You know Wainwright's the place to go for a fantastic choice of wines, beers and spirits at amazingly low prices. But now we've great food shopping too, with a new improved Sainsbury's range, including their best chilled food and ready meals and fantastic wines and spirits. We're now the Wainwright Neighbourhood Food Store. Same handy location, no parking hassle and a brilliant shopping experience. Open 9 till 9 Monday to Saturday, 9 till 6 on Sundays. The Wainwright Neighbourhood Food Store, Victoria Road, Douglas.
It's another Caroline North weekend and time for the Christmas party. There's our usual selection of music from the 60s, 70s, 80s and just into the 90s, and one or two Christmas songs as well. The weekend and prizes are sponsored by RushJets and InFlightGoods.com. So join us here at Caroline North this weekend.
Radio Caroline North on 648 and 1368 AM with Manx Radio.
Manx Radio, the nation's Christmas station. The only station the elves listen to in the workshop. The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
And Lauren Skelly, MHK, Enterprise Minister, is with us as well. How's the digital economy going? This new company, what's it, is it called Gamesist?
Yes, that's right. We have, this is actually, I think, a FTSE 250 company, e-gaming company that's actually moving to the Isle of Man. And they are actually looking at, I think, about 20 jobs initially, but looking at accelerated growth once they can land here on the island. So it's quite a big coup for us, actually, as I say, a big name. But it's worth highlighting that the pipeline is really strong. It's as strong as it's ever been with regards to e-gaming.
And also, reputation is everything when it comes to e-gaming, having a particular jurisdiction that has integrity as well. I'm not going to mention any names, but Malta has had a bad press recently as well. We've always kept our nose clean regarding legislation, haven't we?
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, people say, what is our USP, you know, and you can talk about this particular industry, but I think you can talk about a lot of industry, the finance industry that's been here for 40, 50 years. We've always regulated to a very high standard, and the very simple principle to that is we really value reputation, and we want businesses who value their reputation, but obviously from a government and an island point of view, having a good a spotless reputation is vital.
And that continues, obviously, as well. For decades, it's happened whenever any new government, particularly any Labour government, used to get in. They used to mention the Isle of Man all the time. They always used to use the phrase tax haven all the time. And still, why do you think the UK's never quite woken up to the fact that we actually know what we're doing?
Well, it's historic, really, isn't it? You know, they see us as an easy target, and sometimes we get picked up in international media. But the reality is, you know, and go back to Paradise Papers and so forth, you're going to find very little substance behind all that. But, of course, that doesn't make news later on, does it? So you are stuck in that. But what I will say is that the businesses that do come here and do find us, they do value, you know, that regulation, because it does, as I say, reflect upon them as well as us as a government.
Don't you ever feel that the Isle of Man should be a bit more proactive in just saying to the UK, look, you know, you mention the Isle of Man, but you never go on about Dublin or Luxembourg, you never go on about Liechtenstein or Andorra and places like that. It's always the Isle of Man or Jersey and Guernsey.
Well, we can speak to them, but ultimately they're also competition at the same time, and you have to look at it from that perspective. But again, going back to regulation, two areas that we're really working on and involved with, blockchain, you're going back to the digital, e-sports, we're exploring at the moment, and the latest one that we will be looking at regulating will be medicinal cannabis, so which is another project that we have been working on and are now accelerating.
What's the situation regarding the hemp crop?
Well, all being well, if we get through our regulations and transfer of functions and et cetera, and quite frankly, it's been a very complex and lengthy journey, but when you've got eight different government agencies working together, I'm glad to say they have been working together, along with support from the UK Home Office, because we're talking about export, we hope to see seed in the ground this next spring.
What would you like to see happen? Imagine we're at day one of medicinal cannabis being available. What would you say the situation will be on the Isle of Man? What do you want to see happen?
Well, ultimately, the first step is this is about export initially. We always said it would be. Domestic consumption and, you know, obviously the debate around recreation would be much, much later. However, having said that, what we were focused in on is the export opportunity. And this is about investment in the island. And again, about attracting the right level of investment. Those who want to be highly regulated, they do want that reputation. Position correct, and we see that investment, we see those jobs, and we see a new sector born out of the Isle of Man, and it does have a real medical benefit, so it has a social benefit too.
Is it going to happen?
Well, the first transfer of function orders is before Timwald next week. So, yes, it is definitely going to happen.
What timetable would you see on that?
Well, as I said there, with regards to the hemp, we should be able to see seed in the ground for pilot crops next year. That would be a fantastic start. And we would hopefully be issuing licenses in the first quarter for medicinal cannabis, which involves a lot of what they call aquaponics, which is sort of indoor growing effectively, which are big energy users, and a lot of time in a lot of cases here they're talking about energy, renewable energy, which also fits in with our climate change agenda.
Could you just explain, as a question in regarding online companies, do they pay tax on the Isle of Man? How do we get any revenue from online companies?
Well, we committed some time ago, of course, to an economy of substance. So effectively, you've got to have something on the ground, some bricks and mortars here. So I think the online companies, or the brass plaques, it may be what they're referring to, whilst we don't have corporation tax except for some businesses, but we do have income tax and, of course, you know, employment tax. So we rely on consumption tax. So we rely on that secondary taxation. So that's why when you go back to that Gamesys organization, they're coming here with 20 people originally, but they're looking at scaling that up significantly in the next few years. So
you can't just have a brass plaque and a server on the Isle of Man.
You will struggle in terms of your tax compliance, yes.
Okay, so it's a matter of getting people, getting a company here, as you say, bricks, mortar, officers, staff, and obviously then ITIP will flow in, national insurance and consumption.
Absolutely. And consumption, you know, which we know only too well, because having lived through COVID, you know, the benefit that's been in our domestic economy.
Lawrence Skelly with us today. I think there's a cable coming ashore. It maybe has come ashore at Port Erin and Port Greenock at the moment, this digital cable from Denmark to Dublin, I think it is as well. Why is it called off on the Isle of Man? Why is it stopped here?
Well, it's actually given, it's an opportunity, really. It was literally going past our waters, and it is part of our national broadband and telecoms strategy, is that we wanted to increase our resilience and capacity, and the opportunity of bringing that in to our shores here has given us that that prospect and that opportunity. And it's worth pointing out is, again, in terms of connectivity, with the digital industry growing here on the Isle of Man, they need that resilience, and that's another important factor.
Do you know who's paid for that cable?
We have contributed to it, but I can assure you that we have contributed to it at a very low sum compared to what its value will be to the island.
So it's been commercially funded on the island?
Yes.
Okay. We talked about cannabis. The whole broadband scheme, of course, government's given Manx Telecom, was it £15 million?
I think it's about £11.5 million in total, yes.
That's obviously to roll out broadband and fibre right across the Isle of Man. Mm. And still we're seeing spots that aren't good. How can that happen in 2020?
Yes, I know you do run into...
You must get constituency moans about this.
Well, I think we all do from time to time, don't we, really? But what I would say is I think the coverage on the Isle of the Man is, and actually the connectivity on the island, because that was a great concern, I have to say, as we were started with COVID and we all went into working from home, relying on our, not just from work, but also all our entertainment. So the critical infrastructure in terms of the broadband and so forth, telecoms stood up very, very well. This will enhance that that particular position, and clearly we want 99% of the island to have access to the ultra-fast broadband, so we are accelerating that role as we speak.
18 minutes to one. Lawrence Skelly, MHK, with us on the Man in Line today. At 2 o'clock this afternoon, the Chief Minister will be on live from the COVID-19 briefing. You can hear that live on Max Radio and see it on Facebook and on YouTube as well. On Monday, Home Affairs Minister Graham Cregeen, MHK, will be live on The Man in Line. Next Wednesday, David Ashford will be accompanied by Henrietta Ewart from the Health and Social Care Department. And a week on Monday, the 21st, Alfred Cannon, Treasury Minister, live on The Man in Line. In the meantime, you can get in touch by texting, email, or you can call 66 13 68.
At LV Home Care, we can offer you or a loved one the extra support, reassurance, and companionship that's needed in order to continue living at home. With personalised visits and care packages to suit the requirements of every individual, whether daily, weekly, day, or nighttime, LV Home Care will fulfil your requirements with compassion, support, and reassurance. For more information or to discuss your requirements, call LV Home Care today on 855 382.
Fashion, homeware, fine food, and free parking. Tynwald Mills has everything good about Christmas, all in one place. Now with late opening too, every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday through December.
Whether starting a new business or building up your existing business, come and talk to the accounts and tax experts at Nicola Bowker & Co. With their holistic approach to business advice, Nicola Bowker & Co. will work with you to achieve success. For accounts that work, call 861 271.
Nearly ready.
Just got my eyelashes to do.
Hurry up. Can't wait for our Christmas night at Da Vinci's.
Yes, Da Vinci's is the perfect venue.
And the food is fantastic. They've everything from a full festive feast for us to a sharing platter for Nan and Grandad, with generous portions to satisfy everyone.
And don't forget Da Vinci's famous cocktails.
I can't wait. And I'm going again with work next week.
A great Christmas starts at Da Vinci's on North Quay, Douglas. Book now on 613 271.
Get ready for Christmas at Riley's. There's everything you need for Christmas at Riley's, from trees, decorations and lights to great gift ideas and toys. Join in with the festivities with the largest Christmas display on the island, Christmas Tree Park and Winter Wonderland. And don't miss Santa in his Grotto every weekend throughout December between 12 and 3 p.m. for just £5 per child, which goes to charity. pop into Riley's Garden Centre on Cool Road or follow Riley's on Facebook or Instagram for more details.
Manx Radio Breakfast.
And we're here every weekday with the morning's main stories.
It's just a case of wait and see. As long as they don't touch our fishing grounds off the Isle of Man.
People end up feeling coerced or controlled and they just walk away from the system.
You needed to make the decision. People needed to know one way or another, especially people who are trying to invest during that period or purchase merchandise and all this type of thing.
We'll be back on Monday from 7:30, rounding up all the latest developments, along with the weather for the day ahead and all the travel news.
So join us on Monday for Manx Radio Breakfast, powered by Manx Telecom.
The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio from midday till 1, Monday to Friday.
Good afternoon. It's a quarter to 1. Industry, Enterprise Minister, sorry, used to be economic. It was economic development at one time, wasn't it?
It was indeed, yes.
It's Enterprise now. Lawrence Kelly, MHK, is with us. Here's a question. Can you confirm what's happening at Ronald's Way Industrial Estate for cannabis cultivation?
I would say the airport technology gateway, there is opportunity for a number of different businesses, and that might well be one of them. We have had significant interest recently. We as government have have in planning some infrastructure improvements there at the moment that will help improve that that facility.
It's a massive site, isn't it?
Huge, great potential, definitely. And as I say, we do have interest from a host of different sectors in that area.
Obviously, Castletown is growing. They're putting a new housing estate in as well. Let's go back to your constituency. Big estate in Port Erin. Obviously, the Balqueenie, whatever you want to call it, is growing as well. How much development can Rushen take?
Well, I think Rushen was part of the southern area plan, and what you've just seen recently there in Castletown is really a result of, I think, the Castletown review that was separate. So, but it's good to see that level of interest, I think, in housing, which of course is enjoying quite a buoyant market at the moment.
And just going back to how it develops, the Southern Area Plan didn't have 100% complete acceptance, did it?
No, and of course, having gone through that that painful journey and then just taken through, as Tim Will did recently with regards to the Eastern Area Plan, I think the result is a real benefit to the area. And what you're trying to do is really give a blueprint for development, appropriate development. And the Eastern Area Plan doesn't just cover housing, it covers employment land as well. So it gives some clarity there. And what I do know, and sitting in our role, in our position, is that there is massive and significant investment being mobilised as we speak.
Lots of questions regarding flights today. Howard said, will we lose the London Heathrow connection when COVID is over? And when will flights restart to Dublin?
Yeah, well, we have committed as a government there to Heathrow for quite a number of months there.
Which who owns those slots at Heathrow? Is it Logan Air or us?
It's through the airline that negotiates that, and that's obviously our colleagues in Department of Infrastructure. But clearly, we would support the benefit. Heathrow is the airport we've always wanted, and we would hope to maintain that. And given the support that we have, that should give us in goodwill. How would you make a really good point about Dublin? I would agree that Ireland and the connections there is also a critical network, but clearly at this moment in time it would be very difficult to commit to that, but again, we do have the steam packet, and one of those benefits there is we kept open the opportunity of more sailings in and out of Ireland.
What's Visit Isle of Man's strategy regarding the cruise industry? Obviously, the cruise industry is ground to a halt worldwide. When do they think it'll pick up again?
Yeah, that's a good question, really. And we've seen these pictures of these, many cruise ships lined up and dormant. And I think, in essence, that's going to take some time. You've got to look at the demographic, the type of people they appeal to. So what we are here on the Isle of Man, we're very attractive to small cruise ships. ships. And on that basis, I think we'll be able to take them as and when the cruise industry is ready. But going back to Steve's point, he said about discounted day trips, I think really is what he's getting back to. The steam packet could provide that real day tripper financial benefit.
Okay. Will there ever be a place, because we've heard all the schemes for getting enormous cruise liners alongside, whether it's down below us in Port Skillion or Port Sodrick or Port Jack, putting something there. Do you think, is that idea of a huge ocean liner terminal dead in the water?
I would say for the short to medium term, yes, it is. It'd be hard to really think that would fit. And again, you know, that gets back to mass tourism, which is really difficult for us on the island in any case.
Retail and service sector, in a question in, Sylvia said, obviously not everybody can work in e-gaming or in the digital world as well. How do we attract, or do we attract, retail or service companies to the Isle of Man?
Retail is has been a difficult time, especially pre-COVID with the advent of the internet, etc. What I will say is that retail does get support from the department in terms of the micro business startup. We do the business improvement scheme. There's website opportunities there, regeneration. So we do provide support in that area. And the one thing I would say is definitely focus in on your online advertising. And the last point there to make is that the events fund that the Economic Recovery Group set up has been a great success to drive people into various parts of the island and hopefully spend in their retail shops.
Okay, let's go to Donald, who is with us on the line. You're live with Lawrence Skelly, Donald.
Hello, Mr. Skelly, Minister.
How are you doing there, Donald? All right?
I'm doing all right, but I've been listening to you as I've been coming home in the car.
Right.
Of all the wonderful advantages, right, of this cable that we at Port Greenock had to have the road shut for weeks and weeks on end as they brought the cable all the way up. That's three fibre optics cables up Port Greenock now. The road is in one heck of a state. The bottom now, as they've been connecting it up, is like Rommel and the Seventh Army have been in. And I just thought, if you were on your way home, it would be grand for you to call and have a look and see if you couldn't persuade your highways division to do something with Port Greenock Road, which hasn't had any tar macadam or any chippings or anything on, except for a bit down at the farm, because it's in a terrible mess.
Oh, dear. Thank you for highlighting that, Donald. And, popular destination. I haven't been down for a little while, but I can imagine people going down to the beach. It's disruption, I guess. And what we've got to do here is ensure we got a proper and appropriate reinstatement. And I'll pick that up with our colleagues in the in Department of Infrastructure, yeah. I guess.
Well, you see, an awful lot now use Port Greenock since the lockdown.
Don't they just?
For going out on their boards and their canoes. And I was down the other day and there was a couple who were trying to do the footpath around the island. Yeah. And to be honest, there was open trenches. They couldn't find a way of getting across to the beach the other side. And, you know, I literally had to show them to go another way, which wasn't the footpath, on private land, as it were, to actually continue their journey. And I sometimes think there's not enough coordination between the departments who are doing it. And if the island is going to have a tremendous advantage out of this cable, but it ends up at Santon Railway Station. Now, my answers to her questions, they were going to take it along then from Santon Railway Station to Port Erin and go out again out into the Irish Sea. Now, has that all come to an end now? Are they now connecting it via all the seabeds of the scallops and queenies, which I'm hearing are being disrupted? I just wonder what advantage the Isle of Man is getting out of it. That's all I'm saying, really.
No, that's fair enough, Donald. And again, apologise for the disruption you had down there, Greinic. But it is coming out of Port Erin, you're right. And it's just disruption for a few days there in Port Erin at the beach. So I don't think it would be too disruptive there in terms of businesses and people. But in terms of it's about connectivity, Donald. So when we went into lockdown, it was obviously imperative that we all were connected in terms of keeping businesses going. So the digital and the finance guys, they continue to work all from home, and some of them still do. And that's part of it, really, is to ensure that they've got that resilience effectively, is what this cable will do.
Donald, when would you like to see it all smartened up by?
As long as it is smartened up, because at the moment, as I say, if people went down there to try to go out with their little canoes and boards, they just couldn't get down there. And to go down with a boat, well, you just couldn't get your boat down there onto the beach now, because, as I say, I went down and asked the lads down there who were only doing their work, you know, could you reinstate it in a way that it makes it accessible? Mm. And the reply was, this is private land. It's got nothing to do with the government. Mm. So I wondered... Mm. I wondered where on earth we were all coming from.
That okay, all right, that's great, Donald. Thanks for calling us today.
Definitely pick that up.
And that'll be top of the list, I would imagine. That's it. We're just about out of time now, Mr. Skelly. Thanks for being with us. Who would have known what would happen when we first did these on the phone earlier on this year? We've come through remarkable times this year. The Isle of Man is unique in the world for being the position that we're in. And I just wonder, when you look forward to 2021, your level of optimism.
I think we have a lot to be optimistic about here on the Isle of Man. I term it as a sort of a rediscovery of our island. We take a lot for granted, don't we? And I think, you know, we've learned that this year. We take our health for granted. We take our jobs for granted. We take our friends and family. And I think today, and this is a time for reflection, and we look back and think what we've actually been through. I think we have done remarkably well, as you say, but I think we have a lot to look forward to. And that great, great Manx spirit will live strong.
Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.
Nor Gennel.
Lauren Skelly's been with us today. Chief Minister's on at 2 o'clock this afternoon with a COVID briefing. Graham Cregeen, Home Affairs Minister, on Monday. And David Ashford and Dr. Henrietta Ewart from Health and Social Care will be on Wednesday. Thanks to our studio producer today, Barry Redfern. I'm Andy Wint, and The Man in Line returns on Monday at 12 o'clock.
The Hospice Isle of Man Christmas car draw is back, kindly supported by Atho Garage.
You could drive into 2021 in a brand new Nissan Juke worth over £22,000. But hurry, there are just 3,000 tickets available, so don't miss out. Tickets are just £25, so view our T's and C's and help raise vital money for your local hospice at hospice.org.in or call 647 432. Please play responsibly and thank you for your support.
When The Man in Line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
I've bought all the Christmas presents. The freezer's stocked up and I've got the decorations out the loft.
Sit down, my love. You like a cup of tea?
Geoffrey, have you had a blow to the head?
No, my dear. Tis a season of goodwill. I just wanted to show my appreciation.
Oh, Geoffrey, I do love you.
And I love you as well. Plus our new Spectrum windows.
A happy Christmas to all our satisfied customers and new customers to come from Spectrum Windows. Oh, and Geoffrey and the missus.
Happy Christmas, everyone.
Close Lease Farm is a beautiful venue for any event, from weddings and corporate functions to Christmas parties and celebrations. Available daytime or evening, venue hire is included when you use Close Lease Farm for your gathering. We're fully licensed, can cater for up to 60 people, and the quality of our food is exceptional, whether you want a simple buffet or a fine dining tasting menu. For more information, visit Close Lease Farm on Patrick Road near St John's or email events@closeleasefarm.com.
On the 11th day of Christmas, my true love bought for us 11
copper piping,
10 bricks for laying,
9 showers pumping,
8 cement mixers,
7 bathroom mirrors,
6 slabs for laying,
5 bright chrome handles,
4 panel doors,
3 augers,
2 tap hole basins,
and a Haldane Fisher bathroom.
You'll find everything you need to improve your home at Haldane Fisher. Call today, see online, or visit your nearest branch in Douglas or Ramsey.
Have you heard about the magical events this Christmas in Douglas Town Centre? There's late night shopping every Thursday with the last late night on Wednesday the 23rd. Pop by the Christmas Artisan Island on the weekend of the 12th and 13th. Visit the Christmas Live Nativity on Thursday the 17th. Plus free parking at Shoresbrow and Bottleneck car parks on Thursday evenings and at weekends. Also, don't miss the Christmas Stage Show Extravaganza on the 19th of December. Keep up to date. Search Douglas Town Centre Management on Facebook. I'm Douglas. I am Christmas.
A new improved Sainsbury's range. Your favourite drinks and inspired meal prep. Open 9 till 9 Monday to Saturday, till 6 on Sundays. The Wainwright Neighbourhood Food Store.
Thanks very much to Andy with the Man and Line and Minister Skevy. Of course, don't forget, Andy's back on Monday with Graeme Cregeen in the hot seat. Don't miss that. No Man and Line over the weekend, of course. Coming up, there is Hendo and Howie on Late Lunch, but now online, smartphone apps, smart speaker, FM and AM from Douglas in the Isle of Man. Shore Radio Bannon, this is Man.